Morning, everyone. So we're going to talk a little bit about canola in Western Canada right now. I think as probably most of you know, it's a very important crop for us, currently growing on about 15 million acres. This particular study was initiated after the drought years of 2001 and 2002 on the Canadian prairies. So those were our last sort of severe tough times in terms of low moisture and low yields. And this was also a time when our crop prices were low as well. So farmers wanted to reduce their production costs, and even more importantly, they wanted to reduce the risk of producing crops. At the same time, hybrid cultivars were being introduced, but there was some concern about the higher seed costs associated with that. So with lots of discussions with our growers and our boards, the various canola commissions, it was decided that we would come up with a study, and the focus of that study would be centered around seed, fertilizer, and herbicide inputs. And the concept that we came up with is that we would compare a full package of inputs with an empty input package. And then, so we would remove inputs from the full package, or we would add them back to an empty input package. And I'll show you a little bit later what that looks like. These treatments were applied in 4 consecutive years within a canola-barley rotation. So, for example, if we had a 50% fertilizer treatment, that 50% treatment was in barley, and it was also, or it was in canola, then it was also in barley, then third year in canola, and the fourth year in barley. Both crops were present each year. The study was conducted at 6 sites on the Canadian prairies from 2005 through 2008. And this ends up with 24 site years of data, so it's a pretty powerful data set. This map shows where those sites were. So we, the far southern site is my own site in Lethbridge, and we went up as far north as Fort Vermilion. So we tried to cover off the various soil zones and climatic conditions on the Canadian prairies. Now, a little bit more information on what those treatments were. The first input factor was genetics, so we either had a hybrid canola or we had an open pollinated canola of a Liberty Link. Our next input factor was seeding rate, and that was 75 or 150 seeds. The third one was fertilizer rate, various percentages of our soil test recommendation, and the fourth one being our in-crop herbicide rate at 0, 50, and 100%. And this gives you a little bit better idea, I think, of what those treatments look like. So we had the full package here, which would have sort of the best of all of those components, and then this particular treatment, then we would remove that hybrid and we would have an OP. In this case, we would reduce our seeding rate from 150 down to 75 seeds. And so I think you can sort of get the gist of what that was. And in the empty side, you know, we had the lowest inputs of all those cases, or, you know, in that case, that would be 0 herbicide and 0 fertilizer, and then we added in some of the other inputs. So now we'll look at some of the data, and I'll try and walk you through a few of these figures. So here we're looking at canola yield. And this is the data over all years and all sites. So this is the mean of 24 data points. And we have yield on the y-axis here, and then we have these various treatments, and I'll walk you through this and tell you what they are. So the full package here, if we removed 50% of the herbicide, we really had no effect. If we removed that seeding rate effect, really, we had no significant reduction in yield. Where we started having yield losses is this is removing 50% of the fertilizer, removing the hybrid cultivar. Here we're removing all of the fertilizer, and here we're removing all of the herbicide. And so those, you can sort of see which effects we're having the biggest magnitude in there. In the reverse situation, in the empty package, you know, we could add in some inputs here, but really none of these had any influence. The only ones that did were adding in a herbicide, did have an effect. But it sort of shows that you can't just have one good thing in a production package and expect that you're going to end up with good yields on that. You have to have a combined package. And I'll show a little bit more data that even shows that more clearly. So this is another busy slide. I'm just going to show you a couple points here. But what I want to just try and demonstrate is that we did these treatments not just for on an annual year, but we did them in repeated years because we wanted to look at the cumulative effect over time. So if we were just to choose which one here, we're just to choose this as the full minus the fertilizer, that's the yield in year one, and then year two, year three. So it sort of tends to decrease each year. And the herbicide one, even more dramatic. You know, the first year we could remove that fertilizer, or the herbicide treatment, not too detrimental at all. But it becomes worse and worse and worse over the 4 years. Now this is similar to the figure two figures ago that I showed you, but this is just looking at the final year. So this is, we have all the sites, but we only have the fourth year data. So this is really looking at the cumulative effect over 4 years. And it's similar to what I showed you before, but probably the magnitude of these treatment differences are larger. So again, there's a couple of treatments that were not so important. We could reduce them a little bit and not hurt our yield, but we remove the genetics. So here we took out the hybrid cultivar, 21% lower yield, 50% of the fertilizer, the same magnitude, remove all the fertilizer, and we lost 35% of our yield. And if we removed all of our herbicide, we lost 76% of our yield. So it shows just the sort of the ranking of the importance of those, and of course in our study how important weed control was, and you know, that's really a testament to why our growers adopted Roundup Ready canola and LibertyLink canola in such a big way. Weed management is pretty huge in our systems. So this table shows similar data to what was in the figures, but it just we'll look at what the yield increase was in kilograms per hectare according to those various factors. So in the first one, we're looking at all years again, all years, all sites, and we could increase the yield with that hybrid cultivar. The seeding rate had a small effect. Fertilizer had an effect, as we would expect, but the herbicide had the largest effect here. And if we were just to add all of those numbers up, we end up with this 1248. But really in the field, what we actually got was 1764. So what we're suggesting here is, you know, the combined effect of those four good things, we end up with synergism. I mean, we end up with, it's greater than the sum of those individual components, which we know from previous studies as well. And in the final year, somewhat similar, somewhat different, I guess, the magnitude of the herbicide becomes even larger. The fertilizer component still hangs in there. We tend to lose some of the good things of the hybrid cultivar or possibly of the seeding rate because we were somewhat overwhelmed by how many weeds were in those plots, in some of those plots. I mean, some of them we had more weeds than crop at the end of that. So I'll show you just a couple of things on the weeds because they were so important in our system. If we have the empty package here and we look at some things that we could add, so we could add in a higher seeding rate or a hybrid cultivar, there is a bit of a tendency to sort of help out in reducing weed biomass, but you can see the error bars, it wasn't very huge, so it was really the herbicide that really had the big effect. And really on the far right hand side is a fertilizer one. Sort of a tendency to making things worse, and I will show you that does show up. So here again, we're looking at input effects on weed biomass. This is over all years, all sites. So if we used a hybrid cultivar, we reduced weed biomass. If we increased the seeding rate, we reduced weed biomass. If we used a herbicide, totally as expected, we reduced weed biomass a lot. If we added fertilizer, we increased weed biomass. So it's an indication that depending on how we apply our fertilizer, what form, where we place it, the timing of fertilizer, there is the potential for weeds to capture that fertilizer preferentially to the crop. And I've shown this, and myself and other studies have shown that as well. So again, it just sort of shows if you want to get the full benefit of fertilizer, you have to have good weed management. And then the final year, this is sort of even more dramatic here in terms of, you know, the good things that are happening here. So the good thing of this hybrid cultivar in terms of weed suppression, it's totally lost after 4 years in that situation. So a few conclusions. Ranking of inputs on canola yield over all years and all sites. The herbicide had the largest effect, followed by fertilizer and genetics, and they were actually a similar effect in this case, and then the seeding rate was the least. And if you look at it just in the final year, so sort of the cumulative effect over 4 years, similar, except that fertilizer was more important than that hybrid cultivar if you looked at only at the fourth year data. So this, you know, this suggests to growers, if you, I think it's risky to cut inputs at all, probably, but if you wanted to make some choices, then, you know, probably the first thing you would look at would be seeding rate. And as been mentioned in other previous talks, we know that canola can branch a lot, can compensate a lot, and so the seeding rate in some cases is the one that perhaps if you had to, that's one you might consider. But there's some dangers with that as well. Some inputs could be reduced for 1 to 2 years, but not over an extended period of time. And I think that that's very obvious and something that growers need to be aware of. So a combination of desirable inputs increased yield more than the sum of individual parts. Adding a single input to the empty package had really no benefit except with the herbicide treatment. One thing I sort of want to point out, we've shown this in other studies as well, is that a competitive cropping system where we have a competitive cultivar, such as a hybrid, or we have adequate seed rates, adequate stands, and that's why I caution from going to too low a seed rate. It's usually not a good thing to do. If we have these good things happening, we can lessen the dependence on herbicides for weed management. And of course, that's not just saving money. What that really means is that's a good weed resistance development strategy. So we're reducing the selection pressure to create resistance. And so it's a bit of an insurance policy avoiding us heading down that path. Now the bottom one here is I've shown you lots of data. The most important thing really about all this study is economics. And so we will have an ag economist come in here and take all this data and do a full economic analysis on that. And so that will be done shortly, and that will really be the most important data that we take to our growers. So with that, I'll end, and thank you for your attention. Oh, one more slide, I guess. I just need to thank the people, all the collaborators at the various sites. We had an army of summer students and technicians. And very important to thank our funders of this, the Alberta Canola Producers Commission, Saskatchewan Canola Development Commission, and the Matching Investment Initiative of Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada. So we thank them for their funding, but we also thank those groups for their advice and their collaboration in designing this experiment and helping us out as we went along. Thank you.